We move to the fifth case this morning, Bax versus Village of Peoria Heights.
Could I have 3 minutes, please?
Judge Ganey, Judge Bauer, Judge Mannion, it's been a while, but pleasure to be here, if you have to be here. This is a excessive force case in an unusual circumstance. We have a combat veteran of Panama and the first Gulf War, David Backus, who suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder, as many veterans have, and started occurring in the 90s, and he's under treatment, financial problems, dispute with wife, mother-in-law's there, he becomes suicidal. He drives all over the Peoria area. If you look at the map, he was living in East Peoria with his wife, which is on the east side of the Illinois River, the Tazewell County side, goes across the bridge, goes around various places where his father was buried, clear out North Peoria, thinking about suicide. He ends up in Peoria Heights, which is a small 8,000-person village. You couldn't tell the difference between Peoria and Peoria Heights, but it's right next to it.
He's got lots of problems. Why does this come down to Chief Sutton?
Because it's almost like the huckster shell game that Judge Easterbrook talked about, who will pay. It comes down to Chief Sutton because he's the one who approved the CERT team to go in. There isn't anybody else to point to in all this. They're all individuals. He's the person in control, and he did testify to that. And the case comes down to his testimony on page 14.
Was that sort of like the buck stops here?
Well, I know Section 1983 is individually, but if you don't put, in this situation, you've got all these officers from various jurisdictions coming in, somebody had to make the decision. The statute says that it's the police chief of the municipality. And what I submit to you is that Judge Gorman, a very able judge, I consented and would again, he just got it wrong on this, that you take the instruction, did he approve, assist, condone, or purposely ignore, and you go through my questioning, it was his recommendation, and I ask him, well, you weren't there to talk, and they make the ultimate decision to this SWAT, CERT team was like a SWAT team, you know, the special weapons and things like that, made up of members of various municipalities outside the city.
Is their operation governed by statute?
No. It's some sort of an agreement here. Now that we get into that, it was on the motion. They never brought it out, the defense on their motion. Of course, I respond to the motion. I did tell you a little about what it is from opinion from Judge McDade. But the real reason they didn't get it into a motion isn't independent. As far as I know, I've never been able to find it's an independent entity or any formal status. Is you're calling these guys in to do the to help out because they've got this training. So it really does fall back. The buck stops with Sutton because here come all these officers that can do the SWAT work, but who's in command? Well, in this case, you know, he says he is. One of the members of the SWAT team is an East Peoria, or a Peoria Heights officer. And Judge Gorman said, well, all he did was go in and do what he was told to do. So if it becomes the who's on first, the old Abbott and Costello routine, if we go down to the individuals on this CERT team, well, what did you do? Well, I went in and took out this man as I was directed to do.
Well, there's an excessive force and arrest, for example, or other types of things. Who is generally the defendant?
The person who makes the arrest or uses the force. In this, we have a group of people all coming together to use the force.
No, there are certain people that would have been discovered in discovery, I guess, who shot the pepper balls. I still don't understand what did they do? Break a window or something? Was he locked in the car?
Yes. He took his medication, was asleep with the doors locked.
Okay, so how did they Did the pepper balls break the windows or something?
They shot to break in the windows, and the pepper balls were shot in through the windows after they were broke.
Okay, well, somebody did that.
Yes, but again, Sutton knew exactly what they were going to do.
Well, did he really?
Well, yes, he talked about what they were going to do. I mean, if you're going to charge in there, they're going to use force. I mean, he thought he was a threat.
Sit around.
What?
How long did they sit around waiting to do all of this?
The curious thing about this, Judge Mannion, was till just before daylight.
Well, they got there, what, 2 in the morning or something? So it's an hour or 2 or 3?
It was the first time they got there till about when they went was 2.5 to 3 hours.
But the guy's asleep in the car for this period of time. Now, I'm perplexed, frankly, that somebody just didn't say wait till he wakes up or call an ambulance.
They had paramedics there, and they never talked to him. That was part of the evidence that Sutton and his people never had. The Heights never talked to him and said, well, could he be on medication? And, you know, here he is. His medication's got him out, and the next thing you know, he's back in Iraq.
Well, I can see where this is. He's back in Iraq?
These guys are coming at him. He's, you know.
Yeah, well, I remember from Vietnam, there's a chain of command.
Right.
And when you're out there and somebody else is back here, the one out there is making the decisions.
Well, again, I go to what Sutton testified to. And then you compare it to...
He's supervising this whole thing. Is that
yes, he says it's by jurisdiction.
Right there. He says, go ahead, shoot, break the window, shoot the pepper ball.
Yeah, and in fact, he said he was satisfied with the operation.
Well, no, that's hindsight. What was he in charge of the whole thing when he's giving commands and saying, yeah, go ahead and shoot, break the windows, et cetera? And how they got around to it after 2 or 3 hours, I don't know.
What he said was, I was involved, correct. You weren't there as a potted plant, which I've learned is a dated term. As we found out about cell phones earlier, I said, no, this is Peoria Heights. It's our jurisdiction. They're interested in what you say, correct. And that's what they did. And then I used the other part of it. Like, it is hindsight, but part of the jury instruction, approve, assisted, condoned, or purposely ignored. Well, he says that he was involved in the decision-making process, and he approved, and then afterwards he said he was satisfied with the results, so that meets the condoned. I think that's got to go to the jury, Judge. I mean, what else can we do? We got his testimony.
Well, I guess what else you do is find somebody else to sue, like whoever pulled the trigger, and then back up from there.
Well, and he's going to point to, well, I was told to.
Okay.
I wasn't in command.
But then in evidence.
Well,
we didn't have that. We just have the cheese. Yeah, I think it's okay.
Well, but he was, again, also his statutory duty is that he's the one who's to make that decision. He's got control of everybody there. It also goes back to the case I cite, another one we all remember, some of the younger people won't, Hampton versus Hanrahan, where they had to raid on the bad Black Panthers back in the late 60s, early 70s, and Hanrahan coordinated, and this court said there were many issues in that case, but they said Hanrahan and his assistant state's attorney could be liable for the coordination. I submit to you that's another question of fact here. The reason I didn't sue each individual CERT team is I just didn't see what they did. They went out there and were available, and their skills were available, and what do you want us to do? And then Sutton was the guy who made the decision. Well, that's why I didn't sue them. I didn't see anything they did that was any...
Well, somebody did something.
Well, the decision was made, and they followed it out. But I don't see how when somebody else says, well, this is what you should do, their skills were known when they got there. Mm-hmm. And that's also in the record, there was never any demonstration of what CERT is. And to be honest with you, there is a reason for that. It's a very amorphous organization.
You got a minute left.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Judge.
You. Lumley?
May it please the Court. My name is Brandon Lumley. I represent the defendant appellees in this matter. Let's talk first about what the cause of action for excessive force was that was alleged in the complaint. The complaint alleged that Chief Sutton Sergeant Switzer, Officer Hale, and Seagroves, who was later dismissed, used excessive force by summoning the CERT team and providing them with false reports, knowing the CERT officers would use a high level of force to subdue the deeply sleeping David Backes for an armed and dangerous suspect. That's the context. You used excessive force by calling the CERT team. Now, the magistrate judge found that based on the information, calling the CERT team was entirely reasonable. In fact, what we're coming down to is a question of what was Chief Sutton's involvement and what does the record reflect in terms of that involvement. The district court held, and I'm quoting, plaintiff's assertion that Sutton retained supervisory authority over the CERT personnel is not only without factual support in the record, it's contradicted by the record. Among other things, the magistrate judge, citing to the record, says Sutton may have been able to state his opinions to CERT personnel, but once the CERT team arrived, Sutton relinquished his decision-making authority to the CERT supervisor.
Who was that?
The CERT
supervisor. I know not his name, but I mean, what was his position?
His position was a lieutenant with the Peoria County Sheriff's Office. He was called the CERT commander. His name is Lieutenant Pearson. In terms of who the cast is, in terms of actually using this, the CERT team at issue, Pearson was, he's described as the top guy within the CERT command structure. The second guy is Lieutenant Hartwig. He's the step down. He's called the CERT supervisor. And Lieutenant Gay, which is spelled G-A-A, is the Peoria County lieutenant who actually delivered the pepper ball. And I think that the record reflects that the window was open to begin with, that the driver's side window was open, and that they fired the pepper balls into the inside of the windshield.
You mean this driver's side window is open?
That's my understanding.
This guy is at least asleep, if not worse, so nobody can unlock the door.
Judge,
in, unlock the door and open it up.
I don't know why the decisions were made that were made, but the question that's at issue here is, did Sutton control the CERT team?
Now, the CERT team, what was the CERT team with relation to Sutton?
The CERT team is run, it's run through an intergovernmental agreement. It's run under the aegis of the Peoria County Sheriff's Office. And that's why I think you find that the command personnel within the CERT team, and actually the individual who used force within the CERT team, were all Peoria County Sheriff's deputies.
Well, what was Sutton?
Sutton is the police chief for Peoria Heights. He testified repeatedly that I do not have the expertise to deal with this.
Well, they aren't even under his authority, are they?
That's the whole point of our argument. Repeatedly in the record, and I'll quote, once the CERT team is on the scene, the CERT team is under the control of the CERT supervision and control.
Well, it's like the chief of police of a city calling the sheriff, and the sheriff is in charge, and of course the sheriff isn't under the chief of police, he's under the county or something.
That is our position.
So you have a separate, I don't call it chain of command, but another entity is called in. Whether they should have been or not, well, the district court said that was reasonable. What they did after that is a different story, I guess. And
right.
That's what is perplexing, because the guy may have had a good case if he got down to whoever didn't bother to unlock the door in an open window, instead fired pepper balls. But that's not where we are, at least the way I see it.
Right. Where we are is...
Or where the judge saw it.
Pardon me?
Where the judge saw it.
Right. Repeatedly, the record reflects that Chief Sutton didn't control the CERT. He testified that once the full CERT team, the way CERT operates...
What do you call for the CERT team? You call the sheriff's office?
Call the sheriff's office.
The sheriff's in charge of the entire county.
That's correct.
He can go into any place he wants to and enforce the law.
It's one of the arguments that we raise. That's absolutely correct. They will send out a CERT
Some of the sheriffs don't believe it, but, I mean, they do have jurisdiction.
They will send out a...
Cook County no more comes into Chicago to man the moon.
The CERT team will send out a CERT supervisor whose job it is to ensure that this is truly the type of situation that calls for the full CERT team.
And the problem here is, and we've seen it before, this is not the first case, where you have a suicidal person rather than a crime or whether it's a criminal activity. And the amount of force used with regard to people who are potential suicide it makes it much different.
We and agree. And the way that the magistrate judge looked at it was essentially to say, you know what, perhaps under the circumstances the CERT team really shouldn't have used that much force. It's a fact issue. I can't really resolve it. But what I can resolve is the fact that these individuals who have been sued were not personally responsible, were not personally involved in the use of force. And here what we have is unequivocal testimony, and it's unrebutted, that once the CERT team, the full CERT team comes, all command is given to the CERT team. And that basically, and I think Chief Sutton testified to this, he had no further involvement. He was stepping back, get out of their hair.
If he had gotten involved, they could override him anyway.
Pardon me?
If he had gotten involved, they could override him anyway.
That's correct. The testimony that plaintiff is citing to is contained on one page of Chief Sutton's deposition. One page. And he's saying that Chief Sutton admitted that he controlled the CERT team. That's not the case, and it's an awfully far stretch to say that the testimony of "I wasn't a potted plant" equates to actual supervision over the CERT team and the decision to encourage, et cetera, in terms of the use of force. Further, if you read the full testimony, bear in mind there are three decisions that are at issue. One, there's a decision to call the CERT team in the first place. And once the CERT team supervisor, who is Pertwig, arrived on the scene, there was a subsequent decision about whether or not to call in the full CERT team. Finally, there's a third decision in terms of whether to use or what force to use, if any, and the decision to use the pepper balls. The testimony that is at issue is couched in phrase of, were you consulted before Lieutenant Hartwig and Pearson decided to call in the full CERT team? Yes, I was. I thought it was a good decision, and I concurred with their recommendation, and it relates back to calling in the full CERT team. So the question then becomes one of, can we extrapolate from what is frankly ambiguous testimony contained on one page of a deposition that is plainly contradicted by all of the other deposition testimony as to the lack of control over the CERT team? And that's really where we're at. I would like to raise one final point with regard to the state law claims. There's a disconnect between the plaintiff's opening brief and the reply brief. In the opening brief, the state law claim that's at issue is battery. In the reply brief, it's battery and false arrest. In the opening brief, the argument as to why the district court erred was self-defense, which was never argued and never considered by the district court. And in the reply brief, it's addressing the actual decisions that were made by the district court. In effect, every argument that has been raised in the reply brief on the state law claims has been waived by virtue of not including it in the opening brief, as I have been deprived of the opportunity to respond to the merits of those claims. For these reasons and the reasons stated in our briefs, we would ask that you affirm the decision of the district court below. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. You have 1 minute.
Thank you, Judge. Hartwig never testified. None of this
is in the record. He's talking about what CERT does. And, in fact, the explanation that they work for the sheriff, they really don't.
They said he was a deputy sheriff.
He was a deputy sheriff.
He works for the sheriff.
Well, yeah, that's true. I will give you that. And
you don't have to give it to me. I'll take it.
Yeah. That's true. But beyond anything else there, also we had an employee at Peoria Heights who was a member of this team, too. So tying control to any of their employers here just doesn't exist. I was faced with a motion for summary judgment. Says nothing about cert. And I respond, and I say, here's what Sutton said. By the way, the one-page testimony in Sutton's deposition is when I cross-examined him. The other was when defense counsel cross-examined him. You get him both ways. He wasn't a potted plant, and he was making a decision when I took him, and the defense lawyer led him the other way. I look at this as a classic jury question. I don't see how you can't, especially since nothing was introduced about cert at all in the record. If you scour the record in a motion, there wasn't anything about them. And certainly there is an initial burden to describe if cert's going to control all this, at least they got to tell us why. And I saw that, so I went with Sutton. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dale. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.